this past week in a small town of Harrison, Arkansas. Sergeant Russell Collier was buried. He was one of the over 1,000 troops that have been killed in the Iraqi fighting. The uniqueness of Sergeant Collier's story is that he was a National Guardsman who was just a little older than the average troop, a 48-year-old husband, a father of two grown children and a 9-year-old. Sergeant Collier's story is that he was shot while running to the gunshots. When everyone else was scattering, Sergeant Collier had his medical kit in his hand. He was a medic running to try and save a fellow National Guardsman, 38 years old, who was nearest to him. They were both killed. Where did he get that kind of spirit and courage? Title of my message is The Nearest Willing. The Nearest Willing. Jesus tells a story in Luke, the 10th chapter, if you would turn there. Spirit of Prophecy says that it was a true story. A story of compassion and courage in a similar vein that I've just mentioned to you. There are main characters, and I'm going to ask you to play a part in the sermon for this morning. Well, it's afternoon now. There's a lawyer, and I'm going to come down. There's a man on the side of the road. There's the priest and a Levite, and there's the Samaritan. Now, whatever section you're in, and I picked this before the first service, so I wasn't picking on anyone. And some of those who were in the first service, if you sat back in there, you know what you are. This is the lawyer section right here. Just happened to be. This section is the man on the side of the road. I want you to use your imagination and become those individuals. This side is the priests and the Levites. These are the ministers. This side, Samaritans. As I go through the story, Luke chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, turn and follow along. The scripture that was read. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" 25 of Luke chapter 10. And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" And so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, this is Jesus speaking to the lawyer, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Is that okay, lawyers? That's what Jesus says to you. But, lawyers, here you are. In verse 29. But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" That's what you said. That's what you said. Then Jesus answered and said, here's the story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. That's this group right here. You're the man on the side of the road. You're left half dead. I want to ask you a question, man on the side of the road, woman on the side of the road. Now, evidently, you resisted. That's the only reason we can come up with why you would be half dead. How would you feel if you were left on the side of the road? How would you feel?
I wouldn't feel very good about
He wouldn't be feeling, I agree, he wouldn't be feeling, how would you feel?
Desperate.
Fearful. Embarrassed. That's the word that I used on the first service. That's exactly right. How would you feel being on the side of the road? Half dead. And naked. Feeling sorry. Helpless. Upset. How would you feel? Man on the side of the road, woman on the side of the road. How would you feel about God? Would you be happy with God right then?
Emotions
of revenge? You mean because you're beat up and half naked and half dead? You sure would. And the Bible goes on to say, now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. That's you. Help is on the way. That's one of our politicians' slogans, all right? Help is on the way. Here comes the preacher. Here comes the priest. So you're feeling good now. Look what the Bible has to say about this group right here. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, what did he do? What did you do? You passed by on the other side. Likewise, another preacher, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked. And did what? Passed by on the other side. What's going on in your minds here? Priests, Levite, ministers, what's wrong? Now, this to you guys, all right? Why did you do that? You don't want to get involved. That's right. He's not part of our community.
Don't want to get sued.
Now, that's definitely 2004, right? Why? Why didn't you get involved? Too busy. If you touch him, you will be unclean. That's right. Alicia, you're exactly right. They were coming, in fact, they were coming from church. They had just been blessed. So you thought help was on the way. The priest, all he did was look from a distance and went on his way. The Levite, at least, the commentators would tell you, he stood over the man and looked at him. Then left. Now, the next group. Hallelujah. Thankful that you sat in the right section. This is what the Bible says about you. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he what? What did you do? Have compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Kind of a dressing. Okay? And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, or comparable to 2 days' wages, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, you take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. Hallelujah. Can you say amen for the Samaritan? The most unlikely of the group. They were hated, the Samaritans. Why would they step up to the plate? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? Samaritans? Why did you get involved?
Something so much after the death?
You could, that's the right answer. You could feel for him. Another answer, I would say, you have love for people. You just love people. Thank you, Samaritans. Thank you. I'm coming back over to you, lawyers. This is how Jesus ends it. Jesus asks, after he cites the true story, Jesus says, and he said, he asked the question, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him? What do you think, lawyers? What's the answer? Samaritan. Then Jesus says, go and what? Do likewise. Put my Bible down. I can look at my notes. You know I have notes. I can't hide them. And this could apply both ways. Which one was Jesus? The Samaritan. I've preached this before in other forms. This is a very classic Good Samaritan. Everybody knows the story. I almost hesitate to bring it because we all know it. But you know, I really thought about it. And when I read Desire of Ages, page 25, it says, the Lord was willing to be treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. Could it be that Jesus was the man on the side of the road? Could it be? And could it be that we are the Samaritans? I said the title of my sermon is The Nearest Willing. The Nearest Willing. I'd venture to say, unfortunately, that there are many people who do not even know their neighbors. I believe the Lord wants us to know our neighbors. Because there are going to come a time when we will be the nearest to them. Then God, when we're nearest, he wants us to be willing. He wants us to be ready to get involved. And there's one other person I left out. And don't say anything when you're in the first service because you know who I'm talking about. This is the thieves. What happened to them? Where are they at? Say they departed. They got away. Don't you feel sometimes it almost seems like the wicked get away? You hear all the stuff on the news. It almost appears that they get away with murder. But you know what I really thought about it? I've even thought about it even since the first service. Could it possibly be? God help us, that we could be the thieves? That Jesus died for those thieves? What a God we serve. If I had to trade places and be God, I'd have a bolt come down on the thieves, right? And we wonder about that. I mean, that's an absolute dilemma. We wonder, why does God not intervene in some of the stuff we hear? Am I right? I think about it. But that's how loving a Savior we serve. I'd like to tell you a story as I conclude. This is a true story that happened in the 1960s. Some of you who are my age may remember this story. In fact, it shocked a nation. Even though it's over, roughly 40 years old, the story is still remembered. The story is of a lady who was coming from work, 28-year-old, in New York. Her name is Catherine. Catherine Genovese. And she parks her car in the Long Island parking lot, 20 feet from her apartment, 8270 Austin. And she gets out of her car, she sees a figure coming toward her. And this is what I'm going to say now comes from the actual court testimony. As she sees this individual coming toward her, she starts running. And he starts running after her. He has a knife in his hand. And she screams out, "I'm stabbed. Oh my God, he stabbed me. Please help me. Please help me." And as she said that, apartment lights started coming on. And Irene Frost at 8268 Austin heard the screams plainly. She testified to that in court. She heard Kitty lying on the ground, saw Kitty lying on the ground crying out. Robert Moser slid his window open and yelled, "Let that lady go." So the perpetrator stopped and walked away, in fact. But after 5 minutes, when no one else responded, as Kitty laid on the ground, still calling out, he went back and stabbed her again and again. She cried out some more. She said, "I am dying." She said it several other times and stumbled, tried to get to the back of the apartment where she might find an unlocked door, and didn't make it. He robbed her of $49 and stabbed her 17 times. But the shocker was when the detectives did the investigation, they found 38 eyewitnesses. No one called the police of the 38. They didn't want to get involved. And they say that all they had to do was just call. That was a police box, I mean, within feet of the building where their apartment building was. All they had to do was just go out and use the police call box. They wouldn't even do that. And have had any of the 38 eyewitnesses would have just called, she would have been saved. That shocked the nation. Any of you remember that story other than me? Okay, I see a number of hands going up. Well, I'm saying that for the younger generation. They probably hadn't heard that story. They found him a week later. He was in somebody else's apartment trying to steal a TV. And that's how they caught him. And, of course, he confessed to everything. 29 years old, homeowner, married, 2 children, never been in trouble. Will you explain that to me? His name was Winston Mosley. Kitty died in Queens. What's unique about Queens is it's the most densely populated area in the country. If Queens were a city by itself, it'd be the 5th largest city in this country. And she died there with no one calling. My prayer is that if we are the nearest willing, we ought to get involved. There are some times we need to get involved. You need to know who your neighbors are. Amen? You ought to make it a point this year at least to know who your neighbors are. I'll tell you the story as I close. My wife and I have talked about this. We smile about it, but we don't smile too hard about it, because in our first year of marriage, we had a little apartment on 544 Penn Street in Philadelphia. A a little apart, one bedroom apartment with our broken down refrigerator and our one couch and our piece of bed. That's all we had. If we could scrape up $100, we were doing good. The apartment above us, they were an older couple. I would say in their 60s. Wouldn't you say at the time, Bren? They would fight like cats and dogs. I mean literally fighting. One day it got especially bad, and they had never done this before, but she came down and she banged on our apartment. And she banged for us to let her in. I wish I could tell you that I let her in, but I didn't. She was okay, thank the Lord. When I think about that, I should have let her in. But, you know, in a growing up in a big city, Philadelphia, you're told not to get involved. You don't get involved in other people's stuff. But I know that I should have opened that door. But I didn't. And I was the nearest willing. Who knows what would have come out of that? Maybe I could have shared with her why my wife and I were not fighting. Amen? And what the Lord had done for us. But no, I didn't. I didn't open my door because I didn't want to be involved. Fallbrook, you think Jesus wants us to get involved in the lives of others when we're nearest? May God help us to be the nearest willing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this story, true story. And Lord, we have been the man and woman on the side of the road. There are times in our lives that we have been abused and taken advantage of. But you know, the sad commentary to that, Lord, is that the help that was nearest to us did not respond. And it's easy to become bitter in a situation like that. But Lord, we're thankful that in all of that, you are the nearest to us. And Lord, if we could just get to know you better and trust you, we would know that all things would be all right. And Lord, you want us to be involved in the lives of others. But it's not just people in faraway lands. Sometimes it's the people that's closest to us. You know, it might even be someone who lives in the very house that we live in. You want us to respond to their great need. Lord, give us that heart today, that heart that comes from you. And if by chance, Lord, we are the thieves, Lord, give us a new heart. Convert us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.